Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. In this episode, we're discussing small game companies we love and you should too. I'm your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 205. Whether you are a new or a longtime listener, you can keep up to date with this episode by visiting the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR205. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR205. Recently, I was listening to an episode of the Ancient Warfare Magazine podcast. It's a really well done podcast that they have over there. I think they get something like 20,000 listens per episode every like 3 to 4 weeks or something like that. So there's a lot of people who listen to it. Lots and lots and lots and lots, which is great. Very well done magazine, very well done podcast, well supported, great podcast group over there, a large number of guests on there, or I should say co-hosts, I guess, of experts in the historical field. And they were doing a recent episode, and I believe it was the one in which they discussed simulating warfare. Now, in that episode, they were talking about the fact that gamers and bloggers and new media people who play tabletop games tend to only highlight the big game companies. So if you're going to social media, if you're going to your blog or a podcast, you're going to talk about the big companies, right? You're going to talk about things like Wizards of the Coast and Games Workshop and the Warlord Games and Battlefront and those really big ones like that. We're all guilty of it. Myself included, I got to raise my hand high for that. I've spent how many episodes saying how much I dislike Games Workshop or how much I love things by Warlord Games or the products of Flames of War, all that kind of stuff. But in general, gamers, and I know I'm making a broad generality and it's not going to be true for each and every one of you, so I hope you will forgive me for that. But in general, gamers do not draw attention to the smaller companies. And it's those smaller companies that truly could benefit from good PR via what's called new media. Things like podcasts and blogs and social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter or any of the others that I'm forgetting about. There's tons of them every day, more and more and more coming out. Or even just word of mouth, right? Any of this sort of stuff. These smaller companies could truly benefit from it because, unlike the larger companies, chances are they do not have dedicated staff to handle their promotion, their social media, or even a budget for these kind of things. So whereas a company like, say, Warlord Games, for example, can pay top dollar to get full page, colorful ads in the wargaming publications that we all know and love, or for online advertising, or for paid sponsorships and things like that, those smaller companies, probably not. And they really have to rely on giving the best product or customer service or something about them to stand out, to leave that impression in your and my mind, so that we then say, hey, company ABC is fantastic and you need to know about it because of here. And you share your story, you share your experience, you share what it is about that company that you like. And maybe someone that you share it with will say, let me try company A, B, blah, 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 blah. And then they will also have that good experience and so forth and so forth. Now, in this episode right here, we're going to share some of the games and gaming products that I love that come from smaller companies. Now, some of these will have appeared in previous podcast episodes because we've actually shared smaller game companies and smaller products that we've loved, we've done in the past. In fact, quite a few of them will have appeared on a variety of our annual holiday gift guide episodes. Those episodes are perhaps the most popular episodes that we release every year. You can get at those, all of them really, because we have quite a few, by going to our show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR205, and you'll find a link that will connect you directly to all of the holiday gift guide episodes. It'll show up on our website, and it'll just be one right after another, so you can click through, you can look at the show notes to see all the products that we shared and liked, and that will have links directly to each of the products so that you can then buy. Some of those links will be affiliate links, which means it doesn't cost you any extra, but the companies then send a little bit of money back our way, usually a percentage of your purchase, just to say thanks. So if you spend 10 bucks and they send 2% back, we get $2 out of it, cost you nothing, it's completely out of their pocket, just to say thanks for sending business their way. And some of the companies that we're going to cover in this episode, we have talked about outside of those holiday gift guides, so that they've just been in their own episodes, or maybe they've appeared on video that we've done on our video streams. So they've been around before, and some might be new. So whether you've already heard some of this stuff before, some of these companies at least, or you haven't, you really should stick for this, because I think you're going to get quite a new look at things, and perhaps you'll find a company you were not previously aware of that you now will feel the urge to check out and maybe do business with. The first one that I want to share, and I believe there's 6 or 7, something like that, but the first one I want to share with you, it's probably going to come no surprise, and some of you might argue it's not a small company. And I hate to say it, but you're wrong! It is a small company. I'm referring to Cigar Box Battle. Cigar Box Battle is a company that's received probably more attention from Wargaming Recon than almost any other company in recent years. So that's more than those big companies, Games Workshops, Warlord Games, Battlefronts, more than any of the other companies that we're going to talk about, the smaller ones, more than almost anything else in the past, two, 3 years. We actually dedicated quite a few number of episodes to them. And we also talked about them a lot on our social media and tend to see a lot of things that they're doing with their social media that they do right. They do a great job with it, actually, and that we tend to do a lot of callbacks for, because it is something that you need to check out. If you're not familiar with Cigar Box Battle, and with a name like that, you might be like, well, what do they make? What do they do? I don't know. Let me tell you. They make the most amazing tabletop gaming mats that you will ever see. For me, their plush mats are the single best gaming mats I've ever come across. And in fact, I have one on my own table at home, and I keep it there all the time. And when I do the podcast, I put my stuff on top of it. It's a great gaming mat. They are so durable. They're washable. They have a variety of designs. You can use them to wrap yourself up in if you're cold. You can use them for your terrain. They're for just about any scale, any time period, almost any location or period in history you could do a game with by using their mats. They have several options. They have their standard mats, which are like a heavy duty felt, felt fleece kind of thing. They have their plush mats, which are a teddy bear fur one, a short one though. And then they do different sizes. You can get 4x6 plus, which means they're not actually 4x6, they're larger than that, but they would work for a 4x6 table. They give you a little extra, and I'll come to why in a moment. They have circle mats, they have 3x3 mats, you name it, they got it. Their customer service is exemplary. I've had a hard time finding any customer service anywhere to beat theirs. I'm talking Apple level customer service, just really fantastic. The owners, Chris and Corey, are two of the nicest fellas I've been able to interact with in the gaming space. And I know that shouldn't matter, right, whether they're nice people or not. But when someone is so nice and helpful, you want them to succeed. And Cigar Box Battle does. They have this beautiful array of options and designs. They're always creating something new and innovative. They never fail to fill a niche. So they happen to have some mats that would work beautifully for Gangs of Rome. And Gangs of Rome has its own official mats, but Cigar Box Battle has some. And when Gangs of Rome came out, they were like, hey, these would be really good for Gangs of Rome. They've had other maps, which they then kind of repurposed slightly, I guess you could say, to work really well with Rommel. And so they've been pushing that because Rommel's doing really good. It's a great set of rules that's out there by Sam Mustafa. And they kind of do that. So wherever gaming is going, they happen to be in tune with that. And they know what you and I are playing, what you and I are interested in. And they've created or are in the process of creating mats to fill that need. They happen to also be the only company that I know to run a successful Kickstarter and deliver before, that's right, before the deadline. So I actually got my mats from the Kickstarter before they said that it would. And I was quite impressed with that. In this day and age, far too many Kickstarters either don't get funded, or if they do, they never see the light of day, or they take way too long for them to deliver whatever it is they're promising. Whether it's a physical good or an intangible good or a digital good or whatever. You're lucky to get it at all. Never mind on time, or in this case, before promised. So I was quite impressed with that. Cigar Box Battle is a company you should definitely check out. They are a smaller company. It's just two fellas who are friends, who are gaming dads, and they truly love the hobby. So check out Cigar Box Battle. We'll have a link in the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR205. The next small company I want to talk about, the second small company I want to talk about, is Wargamers Terrain. They've also gotten a lot of love from Wargaming Recon in the past few years, where we've had videos showing their stuff. I've done episodes reviewing things and talking about stuff with them, and I am in love with their product. So usually when you wargame, for most of us, you need to get your terrain and you put it on top of your table and so forth. If you were getting, say, a Cigar Box Battle mat, you could elevate things by placing hills and so forth underneath your mat to kind of give more of a topographical feel to it. Wargamers Terrain goes into that first category of placing terrain on top of your playing surface. So whether it's a mat, whether it's a plain table or a piece of green felt or the floor or whatever, you can put it on top. Wargamer's Terrain also works really well by marrying it with Cigar Box Battle, so you can kind of put the two together to have a better enhanced playing field and playing surface and situation for all your figures and everything for your gaming. Joe Linares, who is the owner of this one-man shop, makes the most beautiful and useful terrain around. He has his trademarked Flex terrain. It's nothing like I've ever seen before. And I tell you, if I had the money, I would just offer to buy him out and buy the company myself and be like, ha ha, all mine to make and learn all the secrets and do all the things for myself forever and ever and ever. But I don't. Flex terrain is really cool. So let's say traditionally you need a road for your table. You go and you make a road or you buy a road or whatever, and it's rigid. And it sits there. And if your table has a little bit of an incline or a little bit of a dip, what happens with your road? It sits there. It's rigid. Bam, it'll hang over. It'll teeter-totter or whatever. Not so with Wargamer's Terrain, Flex Terrain. Joe has a special epoxy method material thing. I don't even know what it is, but he has it. And he uses it to create his terrain, whether it's things like his fences, his hills, his roads, his waterways, whatever, you name it. And what you do is you warm it up a little bit, but just with your hands, kind of hold your hands over it, and then you can bend it. So in the case of his fences, for example, which are the best example that I've seen, you pick a pivot point and you take your thumb and your forefinger and you pinch them together and you hold them firmly on that pivot point. And then you slowly bend, don't break, but bend the fence. You can bend it vertical, you can bend it horizontal, you can bend it at a diagonal to whatever you want. Don't do any like 90 degrees or anything like that. You want it to be more of a smooth curve, kind of like if you were plotting railroad tracks. If you did like a quick sharp turn, that train's going to derail. You don't want the train to derail on a sharp turn. Same with the fence. With the flex terrain, you don't want it to bend on a sharp turn because then it goes snap and breaks. But if it's a smooth curve, you can allow your fence to either go up an incline and it forms to it. So it has a more natural look. You can have it go around an obstacle or over or under. So you can do that with any of these things so that they're not just rigid and sitting there and being like, "Urgh." It'll be more like a suspension bridge that will bend a little bit with the breeze and with the tension of the earth, or like a tree in the wind. It'll survive then, and it gives a better, a more authentic, and a more realistic look to your table. Now, you would think for something this special and unique, because I don't know about you, but I've never heard about any other company doing anything like this anywhere. You would think that for something like this, it'd be very spendy. That's me rubbing my fingers together, be like, hey, look at all the money. It's not. The prices are great. The terrain is very durable. It's easy to order it. He makes it to order, so he doesn't have just a supply sitting there. He really does try to get what you want. If you want something custom, you contact him. Maybe you want certain colors to be used, whether it's for flock or if you're doing water effects, which for me, I think are the best that he has. But if you do it for that, you can really kind of get the color tones you want for the beds. He uses locally sourced materials. So really, whether you need hills, you need water features, roads, or fences, or anything in between, he has it. He doesn't have a gigantic selection, but what he has is quality. So you will not be disappointed. That, I assure you. I've talked about him before on the show. He is a company that you need to check out if you haven't already. The prices are good. The product is great. Customer service is fantastic. And if you've heard or seen any of the previous footage we've done about them, you know that I love the boxes that stuff comes in. So you should check that out. The boxes really are great, though. Great for storing it. Great for bringing it around. As I'm saying this, I'm looking at a pile of boxes I have of his stuff and thinking, I should buy some more. That's what I should do. See what else I need for my tabletop. Check it out. Wargamers Terrain. That's right. The link will be in the show notes, right? So go on over to wargamingrecon.com/WR205. That's right, wargamingrecon.com/WR205 to get to those show notes where you can see this there. You get a link, you can click it and head on over to Wargamers Terrain. Be sure to tell Joe that we sent you. So the first one that I mentioned was, of course, Cigar Box Battle. Just finished talking about the second small company, Wargamers Terrain. Now the third one is not an American company. The first two were American, both from the eastern parts of the country. This next one is from a land down under. It's called Leadbeer's Tufts. You may have heard of them before. It's owned by Barry, Mr. Leadbeer himself. He hand makes these tufts, each and every single one of them, on his wife's kitchen table. He's a stay-at-home dad who wanted to earn a little bit of extra income. And these tufts are just like the ones you would have seen by Army Painter is the one who comes closest to mind. But like Games Workshop, I think, has made them. There are other companies who've done them where they take, in case you can't picture it, but they take a little piece of, I don't know, it's like glue or something. And it has a base. There's some static grass. There's a little bit of flock, and they like get it glued in and they make it pretty. So they look like either tall grass, depending on the skill you're using, however many millimeters. It could be a shrub. They come in a variety of shapes, sizes, colors, everything. You can really go hog wild with it. And there are other companies that make them and do all the different shapes, colors, sizes, whatever, you name it. But what I think really sets Leadbeer's Tufts apart from all those other companies, besides the fact that it's a stay-at-home dad who's trying to make a little bit of extra money, who's hand-making them on his wife's kitchen table. I love the story. It's great. He's down under doing this while the kids are bouncing around the house, and he's like, I like to do this stuff. I'm going to do it. I need to make a little extra money for my family and help provide, and I'm going to do it on my wife's kitchen table. It's just... Talk about cottage industry. I don't know. It gets me in the feels. These tufts are beautiful. They're uniform, but not so uniform that they look robotic or static, if you know what I mean. Some of those other companies, you get like a really, really tiny tuft next to a really big tuft, or there'll be like a large area of tuft together that's you could pull apart, but maybe not so much. And the way Barry does it, you get more usable tufts on it. It's kind of like, for those of you who bake or who have significant others who bake, putting cookies on a cookie sheet. These tufts are dropped onto, it's like parchment paper is how you get it actually, onto parchment paper, almost like the way you would drop a drop cookie, like a chocolate chip cookie, onto a cookie sheet that you're going to bake. So you kind of get that look to it. There's nice rows and columns. They're easy to pick off. They're easy to put onto your models or your terrain. You just give a little push, and then they stay. You don't have to use any extra glue. You don't have to use any other adhesive or tape or other fancy things or sprays to make them stick. You don't have to do any of that. You pluck them off, ideally with tweezers, but you could do it with your fingers. You pluck them off the little bit of parchment paper kind of thing that they come with. Come on. And then you find where you want to put it on the base of your model or your terrain piece or whatever. You just go, you just push, and they're done. They're good. You could do like a spray with a dull coat or whatever to help seal them, but you don't need to. As I said, they come in a variety of designs. He has ones that are like flowering bushes. He has different colors of grasses, burnt grasses, and winter things, and dark greens, and light greens, and meadow this and that. He's always making new things. They're dirt cheap. You can get them on eBay, and you can also get them by directly contacting Barry through the Leadbeater's Tufts Facebook page. I believe a box of Tufts costs something like $5 American, which is really ridiculously cheap. The ones you can get from Army Painter, I believe it is, cost a lot more for a lot fewer of usable Tufts. A previous episode of Wargaming Recon, we went a little bit deeper into that price comparison, because I know that's a concern for people. If you're getting stuff like this, part of the reason you're doing it, instead of just buying some static grass yourself and flock yourself and doing that kind of thing, is you want to save time, you want to make it more efficient or easier to do your base designing and so forth, your basing and your terrain making. Or you want to make it a little more cheap. And usually with those Army Painter ones, they're nice. I mean, they look nice, and I have some, and I've used them for my Flames of War Panzer Company Army. But there are so many in a pack, at least for me, when I got them, that were too small or really unusual, so they were wasted. So I was wasting money. It was a little bit more effort to get them off and get them where I wanted, so I was wasting time. And then the price of them, just up front, they cost more than I would have liked for the number that you get. These Leadbeater's Tufts ones, you get, I don't know, it's like 30 to 50 Tufts or more, depending on the size you get. Are they 3 mil? Are they 6 mil? Are they 5 mil? Are they 8 mil? Are they 12 mil? You get the picture. And for roughly $5 American, and they might even be a little bit more now, but even if they are, they're still dirt cheap. Worth every penny. Going to make your life easier. I feel like I've said before that they were one of my favorite gaming products, period. And if I didn't say then, I'm saying it now because it's true. If I said it then, I'm repeating it now because it's still true. They make life so much easier that they're absolutely worth having. So, number one, Cigar Box Battle. Number two, Wargamer's Terrain. And number three, Leadbeater's Tufts. Yes, all on the show notes at wargamingrecon.com/WR205. So the fourth small company I want to talk about is one you're probably not aware of, and if you are, you know it by a different name. I'm referring to Chris Parker Games. It was formerly called Day of Battle Games. It's run by Chris Parker. He's authored several sets of wargaming rules, his most popular being Day of Battle. He's also authored Light Bobs, which is another one that I enjoy. These are fun and fast and accessible sets of rules. Day of Battle is a medieval game. He tends to play with 40mm figures. Light Bobs is an American Revolution game, kind of inspired by and based off the core mechanics of Day of Battle. He has a lot of supplements to expand Day of Battle in these. He has a storefront where you can buy them, where you can buy models and other things so you can actually do the whole world of Day of Battle. He runs these games often. He's a fixture at New England tabletop conventions like Huzzah and Havoc. He has a Day of Battle game going on at Huzzah in 2018. The games are fun. They're priced well. He's a joy to deal with. He's a very smart guy. The games have been well thought out. You're going to enjoy them. If you're looking for something like truly, really nuanced and in-depth that'll take you like days and days and days and days to play a single game, these are not them. But they're also not so light that you're going to be like, oh, what did I just do for 5 minutes? These are real war games. They're ones that will take you, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to play a game. You're going to love it. You're going to have a lot of fun. They're just really well done. And he's done a great job of figuring out what is a good style of play, what people are going to like, and what they'll want to play. Because some games, you know, they're a really good set of rules, right? But you don't feel the need or the urge to play them often. And others, you know, maybe you feel like the need to play often, kind of like a guilty pleasure, almost like a Flash Gordon, Peter Bryant. But they're, you know, not really quality, I guess. Chris Parker Games creates games that fall into that middle area that are both quality and fun that you're going to want to play over and over and over again. Check out Chris Parker Games. He's a local guy to the New England area. The company's a local company. Supportive, fun, awesome. You won't regret it. Chris Parker Games. So that was number one, Cigar Box Battle. Number two, Wargamers Terrain. Number three, Leadbeer's Tufts. And number four, Chris Parker Games. Number five is another one that you might think, wait, that's not a small company. And you might even say, that's not a company at all. And I hate to say it, but you'd be wrong on both counts. I'm referring to War Games Illustrated. Yes, the popular tabletop wargaming magazine. No, it's not owned by Battlefront. It used to be. It's not now. It is a smaller company. Although when it was part of Battlefront, you could argue that Battlefront being a big company and owning it, it is a big company. But that's not the case anymore. So it used to be owned by Battlefront, now owned by Daniel Falconbridge. Wargames Illustrated is the same beautiful, and that's a word I've used a lot in this episode, but the same beautiful magazine that you and I are used to, as the full color illustrations and pictures and photographs, all on wonderful glossy paper, a nice hefty tome, worthy of the price, just jaw-droppingly good to look at. As you could imagine, with a name like Wargames Illustrated, it is very heavy on the imagery. So if you're someone who, say, liked, I don't know, the old Battle Games magazine, which had beautiful layouts and beautiful illustrations and artwork and photographs and stuff, Battle Games was not heavy on the eye candy. It was heavy on the text and the content in there, that sort of stuff. Now, I don't want it to seem like Wargames Illustrated is just something you look at and it doesn't have any depth to, because it's not. Wargames Illustrated really is more of like a 70-30 or 60-40 split, where the larger number, of course, is the eye candy, the imagery. But it has text, it has well-written articles, it has good reviews, it has product updates, and all that kind of stuff that you would get in any other magazine that you'd like. And it really is something that I think is worth your time to pursue. Subscription is good. They have some really interesting combo packs so that you can get like a sub to the magazine, or you can get a figure, 28 millimeter figure with it. Guy who runs it, Dan, is really nice, and I know it shouldn't matter, but it does. He likes to provide exceptional customer service. So a while ago, and this was, you know, back when they were owned by Battlefront, but it was kind of in that time period where they were kind of splitting and things were a little, you know, up in the air. Dan helped me out so that I could get my hands on a copy of Mega War Games, which was published by Wargames Illustrated. And that was way back when John Sutherland was coming on Wargaming Recon to discuss the book, because he was editor of Mega War Games. And Mega War Games, I know it's not what I'm meant to be talking about, but Mega War Games is worth talking about because it's another one of those like nice coffee table kind of books, like Black Powder is, or any of the Battlefront books, of course. So you have that nice hardcover, nice big full color glossy pages with the great imagery, and it had wonderful scenarios and text and charts and information to help you create large scale war games. Like, I'm talking games like the Perry brothers would play when they're hanging out with their friends. They'd be like, hey, let me just go into my cabinet here where I happen to have 25,000 28 millimeter figures for World War II, for the invasion of Normandy, the D-Day landings. Here we go. Let's play. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. So really, if you've been amassing a collection over a lengthy period of time, you could do. And if you haven't, you just buy the book like myself and you look and go, ooh, look how pretty that is. Let's see how they did it. Maybe someday I too could do such a thing if I had these resources. Wargames Illustrated, does this on a regular basis by way of having that sort of content and content for all size games in their magazine. Now that it's back in the UK, our friends across the pond have several delightful wargaming magazines on their island. If only we could have one. Just one is all I'm asking for North America. We used to have a few. The Courier, M1. I think there's another one I'm skipping in my head. But like, really? You got Miniature War Games. You got War Games Illustrated. WSNS, which I know is not a British company, but the editor's there, so I'm counting it as a British magazine, even though Current Sorrow Publishers is in the Netherlands. So really, it's a publication from the Netherlands, like Ancient History or Medieval Warfare or Ancient Warfare. But because Guy Bowers is in the UK, I'm giving it honorary UK magazine status. I don't think I have the rights to do that, but I'm doing it anyway. In the Netherlands, look how many they got. And we have none that come to my mind. And if there are any, I'm apologizing that I don't know them, but please tell me. But none for North America. That should be fixed. We got Wargamer Recon, though, huh? Yeah. We got Veteran Wargamer. We got the Dice Tower. We got the D6 Generation. We're killing it on podcasts. Be nice to have a magazine, though. What a dip. So War Games Illustrated. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. You got to check it out. It's on the list. And yes, it's a smaller company. You got to convince me it's not. Because to my knowledge, it's a one-man shop. Notice a lot of these are one-man shop. Cigar Box Battle is two. Wargamer's Terrain is one. Leadbear's Tufts is one. War Games Illustrated is one. Chris Parker Games is one. The next one is also a one-man shop. Are you sensing a pattern here? Things from the Basement is the next one on the list. If you like MDF Terrain in the vein of Foreground or Sarissa Precision, you're bound to enjoy Things from the Basement. They make a heap, yes, a literal heap of MDF Terrain. They actually sent some to us here to review. Still working on it. It's in the process, I promise. And they're a company that likes to give back to the wargaming community. They're very involved. They create a lot of really nicely designed products. They offer great customer service. Prices are good. What's not to love? But I'm going to keep on going in case I haven't won you over yet so that you can love them like we do. They managed to run a very successful Kickstarter project. It's no mean feat these days. As I said earlier this episode, far too many Kickstarter projects don't even get funded. And if they do, they don't deliver, or they don't deliver on time. They deliver many, 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 many years after, if at all. Things from the Basement is not one of those. It's doing very well. It's run by a gentleman named Jorg Bender, and he happens to run this company from his home. So unless he's living in a cottage, and I don't know if he is, I guess not literally a cottage industry thing, but it is, right? So he's doing a great job doing this. He's an immigrant from Germany. He became a stay-at-home dad in order for his wife to pursue her dream job in America. If that's not enough to make you love this guy and this company, I gotta just like flip the table and throw my hands up in disgust. Because in this day and age, a spouse, a man, never mind a spouse, a man who says, do you know what, honey? You need to pursue your dreams. I'm going to take a backseat. I'm going to go against societal norms. I'm going to stay at home, help raise the kids, be a homekeeper. And oh yeah, do you know, I should also contribute. In other ways, I'm going to start a company and I'm going to do this stuff and do my passion and do this other stuff while you pursue your dream. What is not to love about that? It's just, it makes me happy. It makes me really happy. And I'm not someone who's always like, let's make sure that we're always being politically correct. But like, this is doing all the things, right? It's something we can all stand behind. And not just because it's doing all the things, but because things from the basement does them well, creates great products, does it at a good price point, gives back to the wargaming community. He's always doing something new and innovative, and his MDF terrain is beautifully and accurately cut. Jorg is just a really nice guy, and I've said that about a lot of these, but I got to tell you, if these companies were run by people who were jerks, I wouldn't love them, and I wouldn't be sharing them with you, because no matter how good their products would be, I'd be like, they're a jerk. They're not getting my money, and they shouldn't get yours either. Things in the Basement is not run by a jerk. Just really well done. Great company, great products. Got to check them out. Visit our show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR205, and you can get a link and be able to access the stuff from Things from the Basement. And we're moving on to the last company we're going to cover. So the first one we covered was Cigar Box Battle. Second one we covered was Wargamers Terrain. Third one we covered was Leadbeer's Tufts. Fourth one was Chris Parker Games. Fifth one was Wargames Illustrated. And the sixth one was Things from the Basement. And now the seventh, I guess, if my math is right. It's been a long day. If the seventh is Inkwell Ideas. So he has yet another company run by a dad. He's a computer programmer who loves to game. Inkwell Ideas is a company that was created by Joe Wetzel to create software to make his gaming easier. And he realized there were many people like him who loved to game and wanted to make their gaming a little more easy. And he's done that by starting off with a piece of software that really is what they're best known for. It's called Dungeonographer. Now, it's a piece of map-making software to help you easily design a dungeon for your role-playing game. So whether you're playing, Dungeons & Dragons, or you're doing any dungeon delving kind of role-playing game, homebrew, whatever, Dungeonographer is really one piece of software for you. He then expanded, and he's done a lot of successful Kickstarters. He delivered on time. He's created really well-made pieces of software. He has done a couple that I particularly love. Cityographer, where you can create a map and design a city. So you could use it for a skirmish game. You could use it for role-playing games. You can track all sorts of information about your buildings. You can have really neat placement. There's many different icon varieties so that you can do historical, you can do sci-fi, you can do fantasy. You can get many different versions of buildings like inns and taverns and city buildings and government buildings and houses and all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of lay it out and be a cartographer for a cityscape. He has another one called Textographer, and he's recently kickstarted, which we talked about on the show, and I helped back, and you probably helped back too, called Textographer 2, which he also calls Worldographer, where you do a whole world. So you can create continents and islands, and you can do political kind of things like countries. And so you could use this to create a wargaming terrain. If you, like me, are a fan of the imaginations, like the Wars of the Faltenian Succession that Henry Hyde covered in Battle Games Magazine and then released as a separate PDF, and if you like that kind of stuff, this would be really good for you, because you can literally build your own world. And you do it all on the computer. It's very easy to use. You don't have to be computer savvy. You need to know how to like use a mouse and open things up, but you don't have to really know the inside workings of computers or tech or any of that kind of stuff. It's intuitive, easy to use. It's affordable. So you can create these maps. You can use them. You can do things where like you can kind of hide aspects. So you can have different versions and then like reveal layers, almost like the fog of war being lifted as your units progress and then see the enemy or see terrain features that they wouldn't have known about. And suddenly they're going and there's a ravine and how are they going to get across? Or there's a hill that they didn't know, but it would make a really good defensive position. You get the picture. One of the things that I really like about Inkwell Ideas is their customer service. So I don't know about you, but when I buy software, I may not always be great about retaining my license codes. So if you've ever had to buy, like, say, Microsoft Office, for example, You buy it, and then on the back, there's like a product key that you then get to put in, and it activates your copy of Microsoft Office. And it's like this for many other different pieces of software. And ideally, you keep the box, you write the code down or something. But what if you lose it? What happens then? Probably not going to get a whole lot of help from Microsoft, even though you spend a few hundred dollars on this piece of software. Inkwell Ideas is not like that. You buy this software that you want, and they come in bundles too, so you can get like two or three, or you get all of them, you get discounts that way. Let's say you get rid of your computer, you lost the code or whatever, and you're like, hey, I got the software I want to install, I want to activate it to get all the features and all that kind of stuff, but I don't get the code. You just contact Joe, send him an email, and he's like, oh yeah, you bought a copy of my game of his software. Here's your code, and you're up and running, and you're good to go. Just super easy to get that going. As I said, it's competitively priced. It works on many different types of systems. So whether you have a Mac, whether you have a Windows machine, you can use it. You don't have to worry about it. Install it. Just works. So I highly recommend. Those are just some of the many small companies that we enjoy here at Wargaming Recon. Let me run through the list one last time for all of you. Number one was Cigar Box Battle. Number two was Wargamers Terrain. Number three was Leadbeer's Tufts. Number four, Chris Parker Games. Number five, Wargames Illustrated. Number six, Things from the Basement. And then number seven, Inkwell Ideas. You can find all of these on the show notes for this episode by visiting wargamingrecon.com/WR205. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR205. And that'll bring you right to the list, and you'll have links that you can click to go to these companies and check them out and to buy stuff and do all that sort of thing. Now, before we move forward, a couple housekeeping things I want to mention. The first is we have our first ever listener survey going. If you haven't taken it, please do. The link will be in the show notes, or you could just go to wargamingrecon.com/survey. It'll take 3 minutes of your time to answer 10 questions. Your responses are anonymous. We can't link the answers with the individuals. And our hope is to get a bunch of people taking this, so that we can then really see what kind of trends there are so we can create a better show for you. We're trying to learn what you want us to cover, guests that you want, your listening habits, what other podcasts you like, how often you listen to the Wargaming Recon, how long you think episodes should be, all that kind of stuff. And our plan is to do this at least once a year, maybe once or twice a year we'll do this. So I want to thank all of you who've done it. And if you have, please also share it with your friends. And if you haven't done it, please take the time, 3 minutes, to do this 10-question survey and then share it with your friends. And I want to let you all in on an April Fool's joke that I did. So I'm recording this the week after, or the week of, actually, of April Fool's, April 1st, 2018. And normally I don't do April Fool's jokes because, I don't know, it's just I don't do it. I don't usually buy into that. Oh, I'm going to trick you kind of thing. But for whatever reason, I couldn't help myself. And I was telling my wife that there was a joke I wanted to do. And I told her what it was going to be. And she's like, oh, don't do it. That's mean. And I said, nah, I'm going to do it anyway. So I put a post up on April 1st on the official Wargaming Recon Facebook page. And I'm going to read you what the post was. It has a picture that looks like that old Looney Tunes, like end of an episode kind of thing, you know, with the solid one color and then those like red rings that get small, focused in on a particular point. And then it has a dolphin waving, and above the dolphin in bold text it says so long, and in the bottom in italics it says thanks for all the fish, which is a Douglas Adams reference in case you're not aware. And then the post itself says, and I'm going to read this, and I need to preface it by saying this is a joke. It's not real, but no one knew that when I posted it. So it says, After more than a decade of talking with you about the tabletop gaming hobby, I have decided the time has come for my microphone to go silent. We've had a great run, you and I. So many talented people have come on as guests to share with you the wonderful things they are creating. I've been phenomenally lucky that an incredible array of people have joined the team through the years. Have to thank Adrian, Joshua, Jamie, Alex, Mike, Aaron, and Tom for all the help they've provided. Not many podcasts can say they've done things that we have, but not many podcasts have a devoted community like you who make this one of the most enjoyable experiences in my life. Thank you to all of our supporters, to the sponsors, to each and every listener who has made this a special memory. I'm so grateful to have gotten to know a large number of you and wish I could have gotten to know even more of you. It isn't easy for me to call it quits, but as time progresses, I realize that there are other items on my bucket list I want to achieve. Please know how much I'll cherish the shared experience. No matter how hard it is for me, the time has come for the lights to fade to black, for the audience to leave the arena, and for me to say to you from the bottom of my heart, and there's like a gazillion dots, so you got to keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And then in all caps, it says, April Fools! And then it says, we're not going anywhere. There's still lots of fun things to discuss. As long as you're willing to listen to the show, as long as the sponsors will continue to support the show, and as long as I have the time to give my best, you have my promise that Wargaming Recon will continue. Thank you all for being part of this crazy podcast. The next episode will be hitting your feed before too long. Thanks again, and hope you found this April Fool's joke to be funny, Jonathan. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you isn't just because of an April Fool's joke, because that would be kind of crazy since it was already done. I want to share with you some of the reactions to it. So almost 600 people were reached, which is actually pretty amazing for a Facebook post that had just like went up, and I didn't share it anywhere. I didn't ask anyone to promote it. I didn't pay for any advertising or any of that kind of stuff. We have over 1,500 people who like the Wargaming Recon Facebook page, which is just by itself pretty amazing to me. So out of the over 560 people who actually saw the post, we had 24 people who did something with it. They liked it. They loved it. They did like a laughing emoji face, being like, ah, that's so funny because they got the joke or whatever. And some people commented. And I want to read some of them because they're pretty funny. Gabriel said, you did give me a start, ... Kenneth had a bunch of smiling emoji faces and a sad kitty looking one and then more smiling ones, which I thought was funny. Don said, LOL, you jerk, which a bunch of crying laughter faces. I thought that was quite funny too. I had to apologize to him and I explained that my wife said not to do it, but I did. He had also said that he's very glad to be fooled, even if he was very sad before he got the joke. I had also seen comments from Jamie who said, earlier in the day, this would have terrified me. Thankfully, I've had some good practice through the day again. Angela said, not nice, Jonathan. Gave me a heart attack. Mike put this picture up that he often does of this young girl with pigtails, and she's putting her hand on her head like, oh my goodness, what the heck is going on? You're crazy. And I love that picture. Alex said, had me for a second there. Gary said, guess I'll have to find another channel to subscribe to, with an unhappy face. Chris said, good luck. And Barnaby said, nice one, mate. And shortly after, people started replying. I then put up another post just saying it was a joke in case people didn't scroll all the way down to the bottom of the other one and see that. I'm not going to make it a habit of doing a joke on April Fools. Like I said, it's not really my thing. But the reason I'm sharing this is because of the responses. I talked in a previous episode about the fact that not everyone is going to take the time to interact with the post or to write an email or leave feedback or any of that kind of stuff, because you listen to the show when you're at the gym, or you're doing your commute, or you're at work, or you're painting models, or you're doing something else. You're not sitting at your computer being like, I can't wait to send this email. Nobody does that. I don't do that when I listen to podcasts. So even if while you're listening, you're thinking, oh yeah, I want to rate the podcast and review it on iTunes, which you should because it's a great thing and helps other listeners find the show and think, hey, it's worth my time to listen to this. And you might think that in the moment, and you might intend to do it, but you don't actually have the time or the ability to do it because you're not at something that makes it accessible. So I know, and podcasters in general know, that we're not going to get a whole lot of feedback, but feedback is so important to us to know that we're on the right track or what changes we need to do. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing the survey, because the survey is easy. You can just do it on your mobile device. You can do it on a smartphone, on a tablet. You can do it on a computer, whatever. And you can easily just go tap, tap, tap and click on those boxes and say, this is what I think and that's what I think or whatever, and you get it out. The fact that people took the time to leave basically its feedback, really, on the April Fool's post meant a lot, because I was able to see that people care, that they like what we're doing, that they would be sad if Wargaming Recon was gone. And I don't mean to laugh at like, oh my God, oh, someone would be sad. But it shows that you value the show. And you wouldn't value it if what we were doing here was something completely off topic. If you were just like, oh, I hate what they do all the time. You wouldn't feel sad if we went away. You'd be like, hooray, they're gone. Thank goodness, because I can't stand to hear Jonathan talk anymore. You wouldn't feel that way, right? So this adds another piece to the puzzle to give this really nice imagery about what we should be doing and what we are doing here at Wargaming Recon, whether we are doing what you would like or whether we need to make some adjustments. So I really appreciated people taking the time to comment on the Facebook post and to respond. And I really am sorry for anyone that I fooled. I didn't mean to do that. Well, I did, but I didn't mean it in a mean way. I promise you, that was not my intention, and I do truly deeply apologize if it came across as such. I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I want to thank our Wargaming Recon Army members. I want to say that that is going pretty well. We have some new episodes coming up, of course. So episode 206, if you can believe it, is coming out April 23rd of 2018. And you should check out the episode guide to see what stuff's coming up. We're getting closer and closer to the June episode where Stefan Picorni and Nate Taylor are going to be talking about the Dwarven Forge Kickstarters. Yes, Kickstarters, because there will be two. And we have some other things coming up. Adrian will be coming back on the show. Don't worry. He just has some personal stuff going on, which we talked about in the previous episode, 204. So check that out. I think you'll enjoy that. That's the one where we share some tips on what to do when you want a game, but you can't game with your friends. Well, I've appreciated you taking the time out of your very busy schedules to listen to this Wargaming Recon episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'd love to hear from you. So please send an email. You can email me at jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Where on the show notes, you can take the survey, please, wargamingrecon.com/survey, and share your thoughts and everything in that. As always, you know the drill. No matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're spending finding truly amazing small game companies, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.